It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants! 97 yards!
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions and comments to hashtag GiantsChat. Good morning, everybody. Sorry for the late start this morning. We had a shoot going on in the studio in relation to WrestleMania, which is, of course, coming to New York in the next few days, in the next couple weeks. So, sorry for the late start, but it's time to transition. We've talked a lot about free agency, up and down, left and right. Now it's time to transition to the NFL draft. And the draft comes your way in 3 calendar weeks and 1 day. Thursday the 25th is the first day of the draft, and the Giants will go on the clock, and they'll see who the best player is available at pick number 19, and we'll see what they do. Now, I'm going to preface this conversation by saying it's very hard for me to sit here and tell you I think the Giants are going to pick A, B, C, or D. And the reason I'm saying that is because you don't know who's going to be on the board. And I always go back to 2 years ago in the draft, when the Giants drafted Prince Amukamara. A couple days after they drafted Prince, I believe it was the barbecue, actually, that the Giants usually host here for their employees on the Saturday of the draft. They used to do it on the first round when that was a Saturday. Now they do it on the Saturday when they do the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds and seventh rounds. So Mark Ross is grabbing a burger, and I'm next to him, and we start chatting. I go, so, Mark, if I would have asked you 3 weeks ago, what's the chances that you draft Prince Amukamara in the first round, what would you say they would have been? He looked at me, he said zero. And he basically said to me that they didn't even, like, simulate that possibility in a lot of ways because they didn't think there was any way Prince was going to be there for them picking at number 19 in the draft. He was projected to go perhaps in the top 10, definitely in the top 15. But he dropped. So they got a top 10 caliber player in 19, and they went laughing all the way to the bank. So it's hard for me to tell you who the Giants are going to draft because I don't know who's going to be there. What I will say is this. The Giants will pick the best player available, but need is part of the equation as well. It's a balance here. So they're not going to pick Geno Smith, even if they have him as the best player left on the board, because they have Eli Manning wrapped up for a long time. Now, maybe that could open the window to trade down if another team is willing to give you something extra to move up. Apparently, this draft is very deep, 1 through 50, all good players, and there's not much of a difference between the 15th player and the 35th player. So the Giants should be able to get at least 2 players out of this draft, maybe 2 that could start in year number 1. And you know about the needs. Younger players in depth on the offensive line. The need not as strong anymore because David Deal is back, Kevin Booth is back, William Beatty is back. James Brewer, they hope, makes a step forward this year. Maybe Selvish Capers can get into the mix a little bit. So the needed offensive line, not quite as apparent, but you still need to get some depth there and some youth there as well. On the defensive side of the ball, front 7 and the secondary could all use some reinforcements. They brought in Colin Jenkins, lost Chris Canty. OC moved on. Kiwanuka moved from linebacker to defensive end. So those should kind of balance each other out a little bit. Linebacker, I think you probably have 2 starting linebackers on your roster right now, Dan Connor and Jaquan Williams. Where does that third linebacker come from? Does it come from the draft or does it come from somewhere else? Linebacker, certainly an option around number 1. Guys like Alec Ogletree. Yes, a guy like Manti Te'o. A guy like Minter from LSU, if he's still there. And who knows, maybe a Jarvis Jones ends up dropping. You never know. But linebacker an option. There are a lot of tackles in the draft. lot of defensive end. That big kid from Florida State, Warner, was supposed to be around there at 19. Now I'm seeing maybe not. Maybe he'll be off the board by then. He'd be a guy I think the Giants could be interested in, could step in and be Justin Tuck's eventual replacement at that left defensive end position after Justin Tuck decides to call it quits. So it could be still for a few years. He is a free agent after this year as well. The Giants want to renew that pass rush. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they pick a corner in that spot either. I think it's possible. I don't think it's impossible that they pick a safety either, if the right player is there. And I'm not sure if they're going to be, but I would not take many options off the board for the Giants. They have needs. I'd be shocked at a skill position guy, to be honest with you. I don't see a tight end, despite what some of the mock drafts say. I don't see a wide receiver, and I don't see a running back going around them one either. So that's going to disappoint some people. Those are the flashy picks, but I think defense, most likely, maybe the secondary, maybe offensive line. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. And I'm almost 100% positive that our phone issue from the last couple days is fixed. So we should be good to go here. And let's start out down in Alabama. Say what's up to Mike. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. Long time no talk to.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Mike. What's going on, pal?
Hey, we have a run stopper down here from the championship team from Alabama. His name's Jesse Williams.
Okay.
He bench presses 600 pounds. I mean, he was a delight to watch for Coach Saban's team. We need just to keep him on the radar. You know, I'm a long, long time Giants fan, as you know.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see Jesse get drafted by the G-men.
Where is Jesse? And I'm trying to navigate to look him up right now. Where is he being projected by the Mel Kuypers of the world to go in the draft?
Well, I don't think he's on the first round radar, and that's the thing. I think Jerry Reese and the brass up there probably have an eye on him, but this guy is an inside menace. I mean, he just stops the run, and he's very athletic. He's from Brisbane, Australia, and if you talk to anybody down here in the Southeast, they know of him.
All right, well, let's take a look here. Jesse Williams, and what I like to do is that I'll use ESPN.com as kind of a guide here. Not necessarily Kuyper and McShay, but they have, like, their scout rankings based on scouting grades. And they have Williams graded out as an 83, which would put him around the second round. They have him as the 55th-ranked player, 6'4", 323. Yeah, he's a big boy. So that could be a potential pick for the Giants in round number two, if they don't go defensive tackle in round one. He could be that type of big run-stopping defensive tackle that they could go for in the second round of the draft.
One more thing, John.
Sure.
I just want to add that Eli was here a few weeks ago on a charity fundraiser in Montgomery.
Okay.
And he made quite an impression with everyone here. You know, being from Ole Miss, he had a big crowd here, and there was a lot of Giant fans that are transplants here, and he spent 45 minutes on kind of a talk, too, with some of our local sports writers. And, you know, and I know how he handles the New York media, and he was just great. And people are still talking about that. So a big shout-out to Eli, and hopefully he comes back to Montgomery.
Sounds good, Mike. I appreciate the call, bud.
All right, John. Take care.
Yeah, you have a good one. Good to hear from Mike. We haven't heard from him since the season ended. People starting to get into the draft, get a little excited. We like it. And in regards to Eli, unless you're around him every day, it's hard to understand exactly what makes him special, not necessarily as a football player, but as a guy. I mean, Eli Manning right now is probably the third biggest athlete in this town after Jeter and Mariano Rivera. I'd say he's ahead of David Wright. I'd say he's ahead of Carmelo Anthony. I'd put him third after Jeter and Rivera. From the Yankees, obviously, and only because they've been here for so long. And for him to be as accessible as he is, as humble as he is, and is willing to, you know, talk to the media, talk to fans, and make himself available, and just be a nice guy, is pretty impressive. Because with his popularity, with the money he makes, with his leadership position on the team, he could be a jerk. And you would still wait around and talk to him because you have no choice. He's Eli Manning. But he chooses not to do that. He chooses to be a man of the people, for lack of a better word. And I'm happy that Mike and the people down there in Alabama had a chance to experience that firsthand. 201-939-4513. We're going to stick in the South, this time Missouri, and say what's up to Ryan. Ryan, what's up, bud?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing well. What's up?
With all the drama that comes with Manny Te'o, do you think the Giants would draft Manny Te'o?
Here's the thing, and I would like to get your opinion on this, Ryan. Do you think once you get past OTAs and training camp and you get towards that third preseason game, everyone's worried about football, does anybody really care anymore about this whole Te'o girlfriend thing? It's over. Unless there's some type of new angle here that, you know, hasn't come out yet, I think after the first couple media sessions, no one's going to care anymore. And apparently he's a good kid. He's a smart kid. He loves football. He works hard. I think if the Giants believe that his football ability and talent is good enough and is the best, most talented guy left on the board at 19, I do not believe the off-the-field stuff will prevent the Giants from drafting him. Now, maybe the Giants don't think he's a good enough player to pick there, and that could be possible. So maybe they won't pick him. But I don't think they'll take him off their board because of the off-the-field stuff.
Okay. I just know how Coughlin doesn't, you know, go for shenanigans. I wasn't. I just wanted your opinion on this.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't, but he'll live with stuff. And look, the Giants drafted Mario Manningham. You know about his issues in college. They drafted J-Ron Hosley. He had issues in college. Ahmad Bradshaw, he had issues in college. Remember, he had to go to jail in his first offseason with the Giants based on what happened when he was back in school. So the Giants will take a chance on guys with the off-the-field stuff if they believe that they're committed to football and will help on the field. So I don't think Te'o will be taking off the board. And the same way, I don't think a guy like Alec Ogletree will be taken off the board, despite his off-the-field stuff. If the Giants believe he's serious enough about football and can contribute on the field, he'll be an option for them 19 as well.
Well, I hope they get him then if he's there.
All right, Ryan, appreciate the call, pal.
All right, take care.
Hey, you have a good one. Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. Looks like we got the phone problem fixed. This is me being psyched. We're going to go by Q in East Orange. Haven't heard from Q in a week. Q, what's going on, pal?
What's going on? How you doing?
Doing all right.
I just wanted to talk about, you know, touching a few things about as far as the, Adrian Tracy?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering why we haven't thrown him in the mix, being that we need that outside linebacker. We have a void there. And I was just wondering, because when I watched him, and I watched him in preseason, I watched him, and the limited action he got in the regular season, he didn't look too bad.
Yeah, a lot of people don't remember. Adrian Tracy was actually a linebacker in college. He was a 3-4 outside linebacker now, so that's a little bit different than your classic 4-3 Sam. But do I think it's possible the Giants might give him a run there at Sam linebacker, maybe a bit in the offseason? I think it's a possibility, but he's worked primarily as a defensive end since he's been in the NFL, so it will be somewhat of an adjustment.
Yeah. And the other thing, the other player I was wondering about was Adwale Ajomo. I think, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
Adwale Ajomo.
Yeah, that right there.
I got you.
Yeah, he had an outstanding preseason. And I was looking forward to seeing him, you know, actually get some quality snaps. You know, I know he was going to, I know he's in line. I know it was four of the other defensive ends that was already in the rotation ahead of him, but yeah. I actually thought that Coughlin was going to give him a chance to actually put him in there to see what he can do, because he was a monster in preseason. I mean, he was like the MVP of the preseason. I mean, other than what is his name? David Wilson had a good preseason too, but I think Ajomo, he stole the show, and he came from out of nowhere, and I was sitting back waiting to see if Coughlin was going to put him in a rotation. And, I mean, I know it was hard. He had four other pass rushers ahead of him, but I was looking forward to seeing him get some quality time. And he, a lot of the games, he never even got dressed. And I didn't understand that, especially by the inconsistency of Justin Tuck, especially, you know, like the second half of the season, I was like, wow, we're not even having any Pat. Well, I mean, why don't you use him, see what we have in him right now?
Well, the problem you have with the Jomo, number one, all success in the preseason came against basically second, third, and fourth string players. So you never actually saw him do it against first stringers, number one. Number two, there's a lot more to playing defensive line than getting to the quarterback. Is it a big part of it? Sure. But I think Ojomo kind of had to – he's a raw player. He had to take the season to watch, learn, figure out how to play the gaps, figure out how to stop the run, and do those other types of things to gain the trust of the coaching staff. So I think this year is when you'll see him get a big opportunity in OTAs and minicamp and in training camp to make a run at some more playing time.
Yeah, my last thing I wanted to basically throw out there was Eli Manning is like an expert in the two-minute offense. And a lot of the games that, you know, we played, and it took a long time for offense to get jump-started. And I was wondering if, you know, I mean, not every game, not just to, you know, make that a part of our offense, a two-minute offense. But, I mean, I think that would be a good idea for Coughlin to just do that, you know, just, to, you know, the two-minute offense. I think it would be good because then it controls the substitution of the defense, number one, it tires them out. And you can gain some type of momentum and rhythm within the offense if you're, like, sluggish during the game. And I just wanted to know, I know Coughlin probably would never do it because he has his rules and regulations. I have nothing wrong. I don't have nothing bad to say about Coughlin. I love what he's doing. But I think, you know, you got to, you know, come with a twist sometimes. You know, come with something different. And I think that's something we can use. I think because it'll catch a lot of our opponents off guard. And like I said, I love this show. And I appreciate, you know, like I said, I'm a lifelong Giants fan. And once again, Jerry Reese, I trust. I'm going to leave it all up to you. You have a good day.
Hi, Q. Appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from Q, one of our more creative and, frankly, intelligent Giant fans. Does a very, very nice job. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Paul in Pennsylvania. Paul, good morning. How you
morning,
doing?
John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I just dialed into the show, so I don't know if you guys touched base on this already.
No worries.
As far as the draft this year,
yes,
I really think it might be time to possibly reload at the defensive end position.
Yep.
With both JPP needing an extension and Tuck's contract coming up, as well as us, you know, letting OC go this past year, really just think it's time to reload at that position. You know, as I'm sure most Giants fans know, it was certainly the pass rush that helped defeat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in those Super Bowls, keeping the pressure on the quarterback. Also helps, you know, the defensive backs out a lot. So, I mean, I think that helps, you know, make mediocre defensive backs into a little bit better defensive backs. What are your thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, you could have 8 defensive ends go in the first 2 rounds of this draft. So I think there's certainly a possibility for the Giants to go there around number one. Again, I think that Werner kid from Florida State, there's a chance he might be there. You have Barkevious Mingo. He's going to go way too early for the Giants to get him. But then you have Sam Montgomery from LSU. He could be in the mix there. But I think in the first round, the defensive end most likely to be there when the Giants pick is that Werner kid from Florida State. Big guy, 6'3", 266. Probably more of a run stopper than he is a pass rusher at this point. But I do think the Giants' focus this year in the draft, Paul, will be to try to refocus on the front 7 and getting disruptive players that can win the battle and control the line of scrimmage. Because for the first time in a long time last year, the Giants got pushed around on the defensive line and, quite frankly, on the offensive line at times as well. And I think they want to reestablish that physicality this upcoming season.
Right, and I definitely think that's the way for them to go. As much as I'd love to see them, you know, replenish and get some new young talent at the linebacker core, I'm just not sure that this is the year to do it with a first-round pick.
Right.
So, you know, while I am really high on, you know, getting some young stud linebackers in there, just not sure that, you know, with Manti Te'o, you know, that he's going to be the way to go if he's still sitting on the board at 19.
All right, Paul, appreciate it.
All right, thanks, John.
Thanks, man. And, yeah, a linebacker is tough there. My point is this. I think you have more options at defensive tackle and defensive end at 19 then you will have choices at linebacker. And look, the Giants scouts aren't even all back in the building yet. They haven't finalized their board yet by any means. So guys are still out there going to pro days, watching, you know, I'm sure the Giants are somebody watching Taylor's pro day. You know, they'll check out Ogletree. And all those are the linebackers. But I mentioned, you could have 8 defensive ends go in the first 2 rounds of this draft. You could have, by my count, 9 or 10, heck, maybe even 11. That's a stretch. Probably 9 defensive tackles going in the first 2 rounds of this draft. It's extremely deep on the defensive line. I think there's a good chance the Giants go there with one of their first 2 round picks. And you know what? If they go in both rounds, that wouldn't necessarily shock me either. 201-939-4513. Brandon's in New York. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
What's up, Brandon?
I was just listening, and we're talking about the draft a lot. I think there's so many DNs, like you said, but if they're going to look linebacker, does Alec Ogletree have what it takes to stand in the middle? Would he be an outside linebacker, do you think?
Well, Ogletree played inside linebacker at Georgia, and I believe that's where he's getting projected at the NFL level. So I believe he would be an inside guy. I will tell you this. He's definitely not big enough, in my opinion, to play that Sam linebacker spot. At 6'2", 240, they need somebody, I think, with a little bit more size to play that Sam spot.
Yeah, and with the whole linebacker corps, because, you know, with Jerry Reese, you can really never predict who the Giants are going to pick. It's really just whoever's available at the time. Like you said, with Mukamura. And the linebacker, Jerry Reese looks into former draft picks, you know, like a tight end, Adrian Robinson. They say he's going to be good. Do they have, like, Mark Kurzlich to step up and play linebacker? Keith Rivers, if he can stay healthy. Is there any in-house solutions for linebacker?
Well, I think Jaquan Williams is your first in-house solution, and I know Terry Field tentatively, you know, the Will guy, his Sam linebacker covers a tight end, his Will linebacker doesn't. But Jaquan Williams will play the coverage tight end position, and I think you'll be safe there. I think Dan Connor right now is the leader in the clubhouse for that middle linebacker spot, but Mark Herzlich will have an opportunity in OTAs and in minicamp and in training camp to win that job. There will be a competition there. Right now, in-house, I don't know if I see, unless they leave Kiwanuka there, and I guess that's a possibility. We don't know what he's doing next season quite yet. I don't know if there's somebody on the roster besides Kiwanuka that has the physical attributes necessary to play that Sam spot. Keith Rivers might be able to do it, but he can't stay healthy. So I do think the Giants will have to make additions at linebacker, 1, 2, maybe 3 players, either through the draft or in free agency after the draft is over.
All right, thanks, bud. Big fan. Have a good one.
Brandon, appreciate it, man. Thank you for calling. 201-939-4513. I'll take 2 more calls, then I'll take a look through your tweets. We'll go through them as well. Let's go to Ben up in New York. Ben, what's up?
How you doing today? I just had a couple questions.
Sure.
One about this draft. I heard you were talking you think probably it's going to be D-end. What do you think the chances about offensive tackle or offensive lineman going to be?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be D-end, but I do think it'll be defensive front 7, either end tackle or linebacker. I know I'm being a little broad
right there,
but I think that's most likely. I do think offensive line is a possibility. The Giants need to find their, I guess, right tackle of the future. James Brewer could be that guy. He hasn't proven it yet. So if the Giants get to the point here with that first-round pick, and they see a tackle that they really, really, really like, and they have a really good grade on, I think there's a possibility. I don't think it's as strong as, say, defensive line or linebacker, but I do think it's possible that they go offensive line there in that first round at tackle, or frankly, even guard. If somehow Jonathan Cooper and or Chance Womack drop to that spot at 19, now I'd be shocked if either guy gets past the Cowboys, considering their needs at the offensive line. But I think one of those two guys will be possible at 19. And I think DJ Fluker out of Alabama, who is the prototypical right tackle at 6'4", 340, he's a possibility there as well. But the good news is, if you don't go there in the first round, there are a lot of guards and even a center that will be available in round number 2. You know, at guard, Justin Pugh, Kyle Long, Larry Warford. Those are guys with all second-round grades that could go in round number two. Then you have a guy, I think Barrett Jones is his name, a center. He could be a second-round pick. So even if they don't go offensive line in round one, there will be guys, I believe, on the board when they pick in the second round that'll give them opportunities to improve that offensive line.
Couldn't agree more. Now, I know you probably get a ton of questions about this, but I wanted to go a little different angle on this.
Sure.
About Victor Cruz.
Yeah.
If Victor Cruz wasn't the sign, I heard he got offered like a deal that was like $7 million a year. He doesn't sign that.
Yes, go ahead.
Say again?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was going to say, if he doesn't sign and we just tender him, I think it's like $2.8 million for the year.
Correct.
Who do you think we should take care of first next offseason, Knicks or Cruz? Because me personally, I feel we should take care of Knicks first.
Well,
I just feel personally that he could become a better threat for us as long as he's healthy.
If Cruz plays under the tender this year, the Giants, I think, and in my opinion, the best situation for the Giants organization is to have Victor Cruz play under the tender this year. Because then you head into next season, and you'll have another year, your 2013 season, to make the decision on who's the better long-term option, Cruz or Knicks. Or, quite frankly, if they figure out a way to do it, try to keep both guys. So I think this year is huge for a couple reasons. Number one, Hakeem Nicks's health. He's been banged up his whole career as a Giant. Last year was the worst of them. Does Hakeem Nicks bounce back next year, stay healthy, and have a Hakeem Nicks type of season? In my opinion, if Nicks stays healthy next year and has a monster year, he's probably going to bring in a little bit more money than Cruz just because he's got a little more size. He's more of a prototypical wide receiver. However, I'm going to throw another guy into the mix here, and that's Ruben Randle. Ruben Randle and Hakeem Nicks basically exactly. They play the same position too. So if Nicks maybe has a down year, maybe he's hurt again, and Ruben Randle steps up and has a huge second season, maybe the Giants figure, all right, we can afford to let Hakeem Nicks walk here, not pay him a ton of money, because we believe Ruben Randle can step in and do just as good of a job at a quarter of the cost. And then you bring back Victor Cruz as your guy on the other side, and you go to war with Cruz and Randle in 2014. So I think it's hard for me to answer that question now. I think you'll want to see what both guys do, all three guys really, Cruz, Knicks, and Randle in 2013, and that'll make your decision a lot clearer at the end of next season.
Right, because I still have the Hakeem Knicks playoff run from the Super Bowl season so fresh in my mind. So.
No, I hear you, man. Look, and Knicks is great. Knicks is the guy that replaced Burris. He plays Burris's position. It's the most important position in Kevin Gilbride's offense. But can he stay healthy? And all the injuries with Knicks, too, have been with his legs. And when you have a wide receiver that gets bad legs, how long is he going to last? How long is he going to be an upper echelon guy? It's a difficult conclusion and decision that the Giants are going to have to make.
All right, good talking. Have a good day.
All right, appreciate it, Ben. Thanks a lot, man. 201-939-4513. Our good friend Dave in Rochester will close out the show as usual. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Good, Johnny. How are you? I got to say, I got a small beef.
What's your beef?
And it's with our buddy Mike Eisen. Comes on the show last Friday or so, a little bit ago. He's only out for 22 minutes, but we got a Mandatino on for an hour. What's up with that? Has he got places to go?
Eisen had stories to write. He was actually trying, and this is the God's honest truth. He was trying to get his work done because he took the trip down to watch Syracuse play in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight.
All right, because we know Dottino got stuff to do, too.
Well, you know, Paul's a lot of walking to do. But Eisen is a busy guy, and we will have Mike on at least a couple more times heading up before the draft. So you guys will certainly have a chance to talk to him.
Very good. But quickly, I just want to run past you. If you could pick, I know, like you said, we've got a lot of defensive players in the draft. If you could pick Warner, defensive end, Keenan Allen, wide receiver, Ogletree, or do you think Deion Jordan, offensive linebacker, could make its way down to number 19?
I don't believe that Jordan will drop that far, in my opinion. You mean the outside, the defensive lineman, Jordan? Who are you talking about?
Well, he's kind of categorized as offensive linebacker, defensive end, I thought.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. He's projected to go pretty early in the draft. I'm going to take a look at him right now. Let me take a peek here.
Deion Jordan.
Let's see. Deion Jordan, well, he's technically an outside linebacker, but he's 6'6", 250. So I think a lot of people believe as a 3-4 outside linebacker, he might on the NFL level end up being a defensive end down the road at 6'6", 250. But he's a pass rusher, and a lot of people have him going in the top five. So I doubt very much that Jordan will be there when the Giants choose. I do think there's a decent chance Werner will be there, and I think he's the type of physical two-way player that the Giants like, that can stop the run and even get after the quarterback a bit.
All right, very good, Johnny. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, man. Let's go to our tweets real quick before we say goodbye. Good job on the phones, everybody. I'm happy we got that squared away. Marcus Erickson, Pep makes a good point. I saw this tweet earlier. I've been very excited to get to it. But if we draft Werner, we will have some blitzkrieg on that defensive line with the two big Germans, with Marcus Kuhn and Bjorn Werner. As a man of German descent myself, I can appreciate that. But, yes, you could have a little Kuhn-Werner defensive line combination. Mike Farmer says if they can get Larry Warford from UK, and that's Kentucky in the second round, I would be insanely psyched, future Pro Bowler. I agree. I believe that you can get a good quality starting offensive lineman in the second round. Whether it's a tackle, a guard, or a center, I believe you can get that guy in round two. Just saying. Mike Farmer, our buddy, Q is on to something. Likes Eli running that in the huddle at times for change of pace. I think you can use it for a spark and change of pace. I still don't like it as your full-time offense. Just my opinion. Elo H, gotta go defensive end. NASCAR package part deux. Helps the secondary as well. Mike Farmer, wide receivers in the first round. Cordarrelle, I believe that's the pronunciation on that kid. Cordarrelle Patterson and Tavon Austin are the best chance of a first-round pick. And I think both those guys will go in the first round, Mike, but I don't believe the Giants will target either one of them, in my opinion. So there you go. Good show, everybody. Excellent job. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm going to try to bring on a guest. Why don't you send me a tweet? Let me know what Giants beat writer you want me to try to get on the show. Maybe a little Tom Rock, maybe a little Paul Schwartz, a little Ralph Vacchiano. You tell me. And I'll make it happen for you. And then, of course, on next week, we're actually going to have, on Monday, our equipment manager, Joe Skiba, should be joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live, talk about the Giants' new alternate uniforms, the type of work he has to do to get these guys ready for the regular season, talk about how that first year of Nike went as well, maybe some of the new safety equipment, things of that nature, so it should be a lot of fun. We'll have Joe Skiba on Monday. And then, guys, we're getting there. 3 weeks away from the draft, we'll start rolling out the draft experts and trying to figure out who the Giants take in the first round. And we'll do the draft in general, too, as we try to figure out exactly how this draft is going to go. Everybody, thanks for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock right here on Giants.com. We will see you then.